Our next case for argument is 21-1777, Boston Scientific v. Nevro. Mr. Shaw, please proceed.
May it please the Court, Pratik Shah for Appellant Boston Scientific. The PTAB's obviousness determination for the 496 patent, which relates to implant devices such as spinal stimulators that can switch between multiple stored sets of operational parameters, suffers from two main problems. First, the PTAB's reliance on the Shelton prior art rests on a fatal claim construction error. A set of operational parameters most naturally means, as reinforced by the 496 specification, more than one operational parameter. Because both sides agree that Shelton discloses only one type of operational parameter, Nevro has never disputed that Shelton cannot support the PTAB's judgment under our straightforward construction. That leaves the PTAB's reliance on NAPHOLDS. As Nevro acknowledges, and this is on page 40 and note 5 of their appeal brief, the 496 patent requires that a plurality of sets of operational parameters be, quote, concurrently stored and selected from memory. But NAPHOLDS discloses only, quote, a complete set, one set of stored operational parameters, which are then accessed, reconfigured, modified to change the device's operation. As the PTAB recognized, that distinguishes NAPHOLDS from the 496 patent selection from multiple predefined stored sets of operational parameters that require no further modification or reconfiguration. Nevro's attempt on appeal to backfill the final written decision with what it deems substantial evidence cannot fix the PTAB's legal error that the critical distinction as to how the parameter sets are stored and selected has, quote, no patentable significance.
Did you argue below for this particular manner of how the sets of operational parameters are stored and selected is a necessary limitation in the claim?
Yes, Your Honor. That was the core theory, is that this patent is...
I thought the core theory was always a debate over... Whether set of operational parameters means either one or more parameters or two or more parameters.
That was the claim construction dispute.
Right, and so that's what I'm really focused on.
Oh, okay.
All your arguments against NAPHOLDS today on appeal is premised on a certain conception of the claim as requiring a particular manner in how these sets of operational parameters are stored and selected. What I'm trying to figure out right now is where below, before the patent board, did you make that kind of a claim construction argument?
Sure, Your Honor. So that was never in dispute, that they have to be concurrently stored at the same time. So there was no claim construction on that. And I would point you to, as indication of that, Nevro's appeal brief on page 40. And they agree with this in footnote 5, because we made the argument they have to be concurrently stored. There's no dispute about it. Here's what Nevro says. Nevro does not dispute that the claims require the parameter sets to be concurrently stored. The reason they don't dispute that, and the reason why there was no claim construction about that particular point, is because that comes from the face of the claims. For example, claim 8 is probably where you can see it most clearly, where step 1 is defining a set of individual parameters. Step 2 is storing the plurality of sets of operational parameters. And step 3 is selecting
Which claim are we looking at?
Claim 8, Your Honor.
Claim 8, okay.
Yep. Of the 496 patent. It's also, if it's easier to reproduce.
Which step of this method claim are you referring to?
You were asking about the concurrent storage requirement, right? How that
I'm
wasn't...
talking about any of these manner of selecting and storing.
Sure. I think the only one that's really material is the concurrent storage, that the plurality of operational sets have to be concurrently stored in memory, concurrent storage. And that was the part that I read you from Nebro's appeal brief where they concede that they agree with us that they have to be concurrent.
But where in the claim are we?
Oh, okay. So the reason why Nebro agrees with us on that, I think the easiest place is Claim 8, the method claim.
Yes. Which limitation?
So the storing the plurality of sets of operational parameters. Everyone agrees that storing the plurality of sets of operational parameters means they have to be concurrently stored in memory.
The board obviously didn't agree with that.
No, the board did. It disagreed with us on the construction of set of operational parameters, which goes to Shelton, the other prior art. And it disagreed with us, and it adopted their construction.
But I thought my understanding of the entire ground for finding that NAPLTS teaches these various limitations is that there is no requirement to have separate defined blocks of operational parameters for each different mode of NAPLTS's operation. All that matters for purposes of matching NAPLTS to these claims and these claim limitations is the fact that NAPLTS operates in different modes for different therapies.
Yes.
And each of those modes slash therapies is associated with its own set of operational parameters. And that's good enough. You don't need those particular associated sets of parameters to be completely separately blocked off from each of the other various sets of parameters that are associated with other modes of NAPLTS's operation. So necessarily, the board obviously did not accept your conception of these claims. And what I'm trying to figure out is, where below did you say, hey, this is how we understand these claims. We understand these claims to necessarily require all of these very separately blocked off sets of parameters to be separately stored from each other for each different mode of operation.
Yeah, so I think the clearest place I'll point you to is page 40 of the and 41 of the final written decision, which both describes our argument and then it describes why the final written decision rejected it. And so our argument, Your Honor, to the PTAB was this.
Context switching.
Exactly. That NAPLTS doesn't perform that context switch, that it doesn't swap out one concurrently stored set of operational parameters with another concurrently stored set of operational parameters. Rather, what NAPLTS did was have a master set of operational parameters, and then it would reconfigure, if it was going to switch therapies, it would then go in and reconfigure and pull out different operational parameters to create a new second set. And what we said is those are two different things. Those are two different things. They may get to the same result, but they get there in different ways. We get there through two concurrently stored sets that you just swap. They get there through one master set, and then there's an algorithm that pulls them out.
I completely understand this.
Okay.
But as I understand the board, when the board says this context switching principle in A41, we do not read this as a requirement of the challenge claims, and so therefore it's not a necessary part of the analysis of whether the reference discloses the limitations. My understanding, what the board is saying to you, is that this was never raised in terms of claim construction, in terms of understanding how these claims are limited and how they operate.
Yeah, so Your Honor, I guess...
And so what we have here is a fact-finding question now on substantial evidence of whether or not NAPLTS actually discloses these limitations.
So Your Honor, I guess I would push back on the characterization of a fact-finding question because we actually don't quibble on the facts with the board's reading of how the two sources work. We actually agree with the board that it's right. NAPLTS does have one master set, and then it creates, as it says, it creates a second set by going in and pulling it out, right? And we agree with their characterization of our patent that it has concurrently stored sets. Where we disagree is the legal.
That's your specification, though, not the claim.
Well, I think claim eight.
Right, but when the board is describing the specification, your patent specification, you don't dispute that description of your patent specification.
Correct. And where we think the disconnect then is saying that that's not also part of the claims. Because, again, as Nevro, on page 40 and note 5 of their brief, they concede that the claims, the 496 patent claims, require concurrent storage of the parameter sets. And that, we think, is also comes off of the face of Claim 8. And so if that is common ground, that the claims here require concurrent storage of the separate operational parameter sets, then even under the board's description of the two sources, it's all correct until its conclusion that that's not of patentable significance. Because that is, it is two different things. It is two patentably different things to say that you swap between two concurrently stored sets, or, as the board describes it, that you disclose modifying a set of operational parameters to create a second set of operational parameters, irrespective of whether the modification is replacing a single parameter or the entirety of the original set, and irrespective of how that process occurs. So I think the key portion, I think we're all in agreement, the key portion is 40 to 41 of the final written decision. I think we're all in agreement as to how the two references differ. I think the dispute is over the legal conclusion that that is not patentably significant. Because Nevro agrees, and I think it has to, based on the face of Claims 8, that the 496 patent claims require concurrent storage of the distinct operational sets, then I think the final written decision's legal conclusion has to be wrong.
This is not part of the appeal, but is there some patentable significance in having your operational parameters separately stored as opposed to some broader set that you're kind of picking and choosing from?
There is, Your Honor.
From the perspective of a patient or a physician, it would seem like it's pretty identical.
Yeah, so the reason it matters after talking to the people, and you're right, it's outside the record and it's outside the scope of appeal, but I asked the same question to the technical people that do this, and the answer is this. This, you have to remember, is like over 20 years ago, and one of the problems with these implant devices was battery power, and anything back then that you could do, the microprocessors were much less powerful and had a bigger battery drain. Anything you could do to simplify the process from an electronic standpoint would help save battery life and help make things more seamless. And so this parameter context switching requires no algorithm, nothing. It's just stored in two discrete sets and they swap. Whereas in order to make it work, as the final written decision describes at page 41 of the appendix, under NAPHOLDS, it has to run an algorithm to create those further sets, and that is an extra programming step or battery power drain, and so that is the reason why this was an innovation. And again, the board agrees with us that these are two different things. That and appendix page 39, it acknowledges explicitly both systems comprise a defined number of operational parameters, albeit accessed in different manners. So again, I think we don't have any substantial evidence dispute here with the board. We agree that our disagreement comes that they botched the last step in saying that it's not of patentable significance, because both sides agree, quoting from Nevro's brief at footnote 5, Nevro does not dispute that the claims require the parameter sets to be concurrently stored. There is only one patent in this case that has concurrent storage of multiple parameter sets, and that's the 496 patent, not NAPHOLDS.
Just to be clear,
yes.
It's only Claim 8, right, that requires the concurrent storage?
No, Your Honor. The parties have treated all the claims except for Claim 14 as the same, and so Nevro's statement that I just read from would apply to all of the claims except 14, which we're not.
I don't see that. I don't see a limitation in Claim 1, for example, of storing. I don't see any storage limitation in Claim 1.
Right. So
why in the world would I read a storage limitation in Claim 1?
So, Your Honor, I think the way that this has been understood.
It's irrelevant. This is a question of law. You can't stipulate to a question of law, can you?
Okay. No, Your Honor. So I think the way you would get there in Claim 1 is there is a...
I'm dying to hear it.
Okay. So there's a selection means in Claim 1. Selection means for selecting one of the plurality of sets of operational parameters. That selection means as Nevro agreed that that would be a means plus function claim, and this is a this is claim one, the apparatus that would satisfy that selection means, and I, Your Honor, I know this is convoluted, but just to finish, the structure would be the microcontroller that's described at JA74, which is column 17, lines 32 to 43 of that patent, which corresponds to figure 6 through 8 of the patent, which have that memory table, which show the concurrent storage. But, Your Honor, if you can't get there on claim 1, then claim 8, we're happy for this court to simply reverse on claim 8, where I agree it's most explicit, the concurrent storage requirement that Nevro concedes. And I know I'm out of time.
Where did you argue claim 8 separately from the other claims in this manner? I mean,
Your Honor, we didn't argue them separately. We made the same arguments with respect.
I see there's a big fight over the meaning of set of operational parameters, which is claim 1.
Yes, set of
set of. That's where you know you made the argument on appeal to infuse into that claim element a lot of limitations as to how and the manner of storing
right.
and selecting.
Sure.
But I just don't remember this claim 8 discussion at all.
So Your Honor, just to be clear, we're not trying to read that into set of operational parameters. That was the only claim construction dispute.
I must have misread your blue brief then.
We are reading it based on the claims, which again, Nevro agrees with us that you have to have this concurrent store. Whether you want to locate that in set of operational parameters, I don't think it goes in there. I think it comes from these other elements of the claims. But the point is that there isn't a dispute. There has never been a dispute in this case that it requires that at least some of these claims, and maybe it's just claim 8 is the easiest place to see it, but at least some of these claims require concurrent storage of the plurality of sets of operational parameters. That's why there was no claim construction on this element. There's never been a dispute about it.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Your problem with me, Mr. Shaw, is that I think NAPHOLTZ discloses multiple sets of operational parameters. I don't agree with you that when they say a set, that's it. I think that when they modify or reconfigure that set to create a second set, that is in fact a plurality of sets. Okay? So that's where I am. That's mm-hmm. my plain and ordinary understanding of what the word plurality of sets means
right.
and reading NAPHOLTZ in the same manner that the board did in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're saying to me, but that can't be right, Judge, because there is a separate requirement that the plurality of sets have to both be concurrently stored. So it can't be that you take one set, modify it, and replace it in storage and create a plurality of sets. The problem is I don't see that as having been the argument in this case. What am I missing?
Your Honor, that was our argument below it. As you can see from final written decision page 40, where the PTAB itself describes our argument, that critical to the performing the context switch is that you have the two sets in memory so that you can just swap them. That's been the whole theory. That's the foundation of our patent, is that you have multiple sets stored in memory and that parameter context switching is just swapping the two sets. And so that has always been our theory. And
the board
and you're
said
right.
that wasn't part of the claims. And so now you're appealing that. And
they don't
for
disagree
now,
with
I'm trying to understand.
Right.
I know you've got a characterization of their footnote 5, but I right now just need to know where in your blue brief do you call out claim 8?
Where in our blue brief? What, Your Honor? I'm sorry.
Do you call out claim 8? And this
it's represented on the front cover is
oh sure, but I'm talking about in the argument section of your brief.
Sure,
I feel right now that I must have overlooked something when I read your blue brief because I don't recall any argumentation in as to claim 8.
We do, Your Honor, in terms of We do rely on claim 8. It's, again, it's reproduced as the representative claim. It's there in the background on page 7, and then in the argument section, if you'll just bear with me, I'll have to find it.
You want to do it on rebuttal?
Yeah.
So let's allow Mr. Cardo, please.
Okay.
Proceed.
Yep, fair enough. Thank you, Your Honors.
Good morning. May it please the court. Boston Scientific has framed the dispute here as whether the word set requires two or more parameters. But what it's really arguing is that parameters within a set must be physically grouped together in memory and separated from parameters belonging to other sets. So what it's doing here is trying to read the memory table of Figure 6 into the claims. Now, the board addressed this argument and rejected it because while the claims do require the sets to be stored somewhere, which is what we noted in our brief, and as our expert acknowledged, the claims are agnostic as to the precise manner in which the sets are stored and selected from memory. And that's consistent with the plain meaning of the word set, which merely conveys a conceptual or functional relationship between its members. That is, if there are multiple parameters, the parameters must be associated in some way with a predefined grouping. But that grouping
Your problem is Claim 8 requires storing the plurality of sets of operational parameters. And what NAPOLTS discloses is modifying or reconfiguring parameters. So you might be able to get me to the point where I agree that that is does create a plurality of sets of operational parameters because you've got one and then you modify them and so you've got a new one. So now you've got a plurality. But where is the plurality being stored? I mean, Claim 8 seems to require simultaneous storing of the plurality, not overwriting of the plurality.
Yes, Your Honor. As an initial matter, Boston Scientific has never argued Claim 8 independently, and so Claim 8 falls with Claim 1. And in fact, the board noted at Appendix page 45 that Boston Scientific's arguments with respect to Claim 8 were identical with respect to Claim 1.
But I think that at least Mr. Shaw is arguing today that the same storing argument applies to Claim 1. Now, I surely don't see that limitation in Claim 1, no matter how creative he may get. But he also suggests that you all agreed throughout to the concurrent storage requirement.
Well, Your Honor, I think he's placing too much weight on the agreement at issue. That is, the parties agree that the sets are stored somewhere in memory. They disagree as to whether Figure 6's requirement as to how those sets are stored is a requirement of the claims. Now, in NAPOLTS, the physician defines therapies comprising a combination of parameters that have been chosen by the physician to treat a particular patient and the patient's conditions. And those parameters and allowable ranges for parameters and programmable options are all stored in the device. And as the board noted on appendix page 38, relying on the bottom of column 6 of NAPOLTS, once the therapies are stored, the device contains all possible sets of operational parameters available to a patient. Now, the board also turned to column 9 and figure 7,
Can I ask you, I'm having a hard time conceptually understanding the difference here. And let me see if this is it. Suppose there are 10 different parameters, and you have to combine more than one of them for each set. So you have a set of 1, 2, and 3, and you have a set of 1, 2, and 4. Is their view that in order to come under their patent, those have to be grouped together, and you just select between the two, and assume this is the way NAPOLTS argues, it has 1 through 10 also, it doesn't specifically group them together, but you can program and say therapy 1 equals 1, 2, and 3, and therapy 2 equals 1, 2, and 4, and so it switches between the two. And even though 1 through 10 are all stored together, there's still two different sets there. Is that
the difference here? That's exactly right, Your Honor. Boston Scientific is reading this data structure requirement into the claims. NAPALTS predefines therapies and associates specific parameters with those therapies, and then selects a therapy based on the patient's heart rate and an activity level. So there is some programming within.
So if we, and your friend did give a somewhat convincing me, I'm not really sure, I just heard it today, that the reason to do it their way versus your way is it might lessen battery power because you're just switching between one and the other and it doesn't require any kind of further processing or pointing. I'm not sure that there's much more processing or pointing if it's choosing between therapy one and therapy two that already have predefined values. But if there is some kind of difference there, and their patent does require that concurrent storage in the database the way they said, does NAPALTS show that?
I'll answer the first part of your question, Your Honor. That is, what is the purpose of storing SADS separately? Boston Scientific didn't point to anything in the claims or the patent specification that would support that purpose. And indeed, the claims culminate with a limitation whereby the operation of the implant device may be changed through selection of a different set. So these claims are really about the ability for a patient to change the operation of the device, irrespective of how the set is stored. In fact, the preamble of Claim 8 makes that clear. It refers to a method of changing the operating parameters. And that is consistent with the background of the invention in Column 2, which states that the invention solves the need for patients to readily make appropriate changes to the operating parameters. It says nothing about conserving memory or battery requirements. With regard to NAPALTS, the parameters are all predefined in programming, and that programming is uploaded to the device, and the system can swiftly switch between modes, as the board found at appendix page 39. So even if that were the purpose of the patent, I think NAPALTS fulfills that purpose by efficiently switching through therapies and changing modes of operation, Your Honor. I would like to look again at Claim 8, Your Honor. Boston Scientific alleges for the first time today that Claim 8 requires discrete storage in separate sets. It has never made that argument below. But even still, I don't think that is correct based on a plain reading of the claim. It refers
when
to...
When you say it didn't make it below, I mean, I thought the concurrent storage idea was made. Is that not right?
The parties agreed that the sets must be stored in memory. But there was no agreement and no argument as to how the sets are stored. That is,
But the word concurrent has meaning. Did the parties agree that they had to be concurrently stored?
Concurrently in the sense that all the parameters belonging to the set are stored, not that they are separately stored as discrete categories.
The plurality of sets. A plurality of sets means more than one set. What exactly was agreed to? Where can I find this agreement about concurrent storage?
Your Honor, I don't think that is in the record below because there was no express agreement. I think it's just that Boston Scientific was trying to read storage requirements into its obviousness analysis.
Well, here's, I think, maybe what the entire panel is struggling with, is trying to understand what you are apparently agreeing to at footnote 5 of your red brief, where you say, Nevro does not dispute that the claims require the parameter sets to be concurrently stored. Now, there could be competing, differing understandings of what concurrently stored means. You might mean one thing, and we might be thinking another, and certainly the other side's thinking something. So what is it that you are saying that you don't dispute when you say that, yes, of course, the claims require the parameter sets to be concurrently stored?
Yes.
You want us to believe that that doesn't require separate storage of separate sets of operational parameters, then what are you saying here?
Yes,
if
Your
not
Honor.
That?
Yes, Your Honor. We are agreeing that the parameters within the sets have to be stored in memory somewhere. And that's
but
all
that's
that our...
But that's not what you say. What? Your footnote says the parameter sets concurrently stored, not parameters within each set are stored.
Well, Your Honor, I think...
sets have to be concurrently stored. That would, by the plain language of what you've agreed to, suggest that there are two sets of parameters that are stored at the same time.
So I don't think that's the implication, Your Honor, and if I may, as an example...
Well, it is the implication of what you wrote. It may not be what you mean or what you want, but, you know, that's what it says.
Fair enough, Your Honor. As an example, my son plays with Lego sets, and he has various sets corresponding to various structures, the White House, Empire State Building, Eiffel Tower. Now, he sometimes puts the Legos in their respective boxes such that they are separately delineated. And other times, oftentimes, he'll pour all the boxes into a single basket. When he does that, the basket contains separate sets, concurrently stored. That is, each Lego piece is associated with a predefined set, and all the sets are within a single structure. The mere fact that the Lego pieces are in a single structure doesn't somehow negate the fact that they are all part of sets.
I'm not sure that's right, because it's more like... He started with the Washington Monument and took out the columns and replaced them, i.e. reconfigured or modified them, with the peak of the Eiffel Tower, so the columns no longer exist. That's not two sets concurrently stored. That's one new replacement set, isn't it?
In that specific example, yes, Your Honor, but that is not how...
That's what happens in Napoles. In Napoles, they modify... The only way you get to two sets is they modify or reconfigure some of the parameters of the first set.
No, Your Honor, that isn't correct. Respectfully, the board relies expressly on Claim 27 of Napoles.
Is that the one that talks about the two separate therapies and switching between the two? Is that your view of where we... can find evidence for concurrently stored sets of parameters in Napoles?
Yes, and...
I mean, it's not super specific, but maybe it's enough substantial evidence that therapy one includes one set of parameters and therapy two includes a separate set, and then switches between the two.
That's right, Your Honor. That's one place.
And the different therapies, the parameters that are associated with each therapy... Is that stored somewhere as information? Like, for therapy number one, we're talking about parameters A, B, C, and D. And is that list of A, B, C, and D parameters associated with therapy one stored somewhere in Napoles?
It is, Your Honor. We know this, number one, because of Claim 27, which refers to...
And so in that sense, there's a set of operational parameters that is stored, associated with therapy one. The parameters themselves, but the listing of the parameters.
That's correct.
Is that what we're trying to get at?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that what you mean by concurrently stored?
We agree that the
claims require some kind of concurrent storage?
We agree that there must be concurrent storage of associations of parameters. That's all that the word set requires. It doesn't require concurrent storage of delineated data structures comprising only those parameters that are separated from others. And I think Napoles does disclose that, not only in Claim 27, but as well as in the bottom of Column 6 on which the board relied, that refers to customizing the device for a particular patient that is choosing parameters within the device, that within the therapies.
Were there any claim construction disputes below? Like, everybody's briefs are broken up. There's the claim construction section, then there's the reference discussion, then there's the patentability discussion. In the claim construction discussion, was there any argument, debate between the sides as to whether any claim element in any claim necessarily requires this idea of having individual blocks of individual parameters separately stored from other blocks of parameters for other therapies?
Not in the context of claim construction, Your Honor, which is points to the odd way that Boston Scientific has litigated this issue, is they've argued all along that the only claim construction issue is whether the word set requires two or more parameters. But what they're trying to do is to read these other storage requirements into the word set through its obviousness analysis. And that is simply improper. I think the reason it didn't frame
it... Wait. It's not whether the word set, it's the whether the term a plurality of sets plural, right? That's what they say is two or more, not the word set, which would actually suggest singular. That's not what the claim says.
Sure, Your Honor. So the claim refers to a plurality of sets. Certainly there must be more than one set. But their claim construction argument is that a set must contain more, two or more parameters. So their claim construction argument, both below and on appeal, doesn't match with the obviousness arguments they're trying to make by reading Figure 6 into the claims.
I don't understand how a set could be a singular thing.
Well, Your Honor, in the colloquial sense, I think I could have a key chain, a key ring with multiple keys or a single key and still fairly inaccurately describe that as a set. But more significant...
How could you describe a single key as a set of keys?
Well, because it's pre-associated with some function. For example, operating or opening the doors to my house, for example. But I think even setting aside the colloquial definition, the board relied on...
Which didn't resonate with me at all, so good. Set that one aside. What else you got?
Sure, Your Honor. The board relied expressly on mathematical definitions, which acknowledge that the word set is broad enough to cover not only two or more members, but also a single member. And the board found that that is consistent with the claim language here. It refers to an implant device, not a device containing or operated using multiple parameters, but any device.
I think what you want to get to is that NAPLTS teaches under either party's construction of set of operational parameters. Because, of course, NAPLTS is dealing with multiple parameters for each of its associated therapies.
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly right, which is why the court doesn't even need to reach the claim construction issue as framed by Boston Scientific. No one disputes that NAPLTS discloses that its modes of operation contain multiple parameters, and that's shown in the Medtronic manual at appendix page 745 as well. The issue here is whether storage requirements are narrowed the scope of the claim as described.
Okay, counsel, we are beyond your time.
Yes, Your Honor.
Let's
thank
have
you.
Mr. Shaw use his rebuttal time, please. You don't necessarily just restore all his rebuttal time. You give him what he had left. Pardon? Oh, he went over? Oh, yeah, well, give him 2 minutes. I'll give him 2 minutes.
Can you start by showing me where in the blue brief what the discussion today we've had about how they're stored versus one or two sets of parameters is? Because I tell you, when I read this brief, the blue brief, I thought all we're talking about is, does the claim construction require, you know, multiple parameters in each set, and not anything about how those multiple parameters are stored? It certainly doesn't seem... It listed in your table of contents that way. Maybe there's some text in the body somewhere.
Yes, Your Honor. It would be in the NAPLTS section, because this again doesn't apply to Shelton, because everyone agrees Shelton rises or falls on whether there is a set of operational parameters. But this discussion we're having about the concurrent storage of the sets, like more than one set being concurrently stored, applies to NAPLTS. So that is under our discussion in NAPLTS, which is pages 33 through 36.
Sure, but even that starts off with the subheading that NAPLTS discloses only a single set of operational parameters.
Right, and the key there is, and it's if you read on that same page, accordingly, NAPLTS does not disclose multiple sets, i.e. a plurality of operational sets that are stored concurrently in memory, as the 496 patent requires. That's what this appeal comes down to, is does NAPLTS actually store multiple sets concurrently as the patent requires?
When you say that's what this appeal comes down to, really? Page 36 of your brief, a single sentence?
No,
that's what comes down to?
No,
the
I mean,
appeal
no, no,
can
no.
be wrapped up in this one important sentence at the bottom of page 33 of your
brief. No, you're right. I just meant the colloquy we've been having about concurrent storage. Obviously, there's a whole lot of briefing on multiple issues. I just meant that as a
shorthand. But that doesn't even explain the storage issue in the way we've been talking about it, because we've been talking about NAPULSE at least shows two different therapies, which can be read as showing two different sets. None of this addresses whether those two different therapies are concurrent storage or not.
So, Your Honor, they make the argument that their claim 27, the two different therapies.
Well, it's not just them, correspond. It's the board. And
no, Your Honor. Respectfully, I disagree with that. When the board characterizes NAPULSE, it characterizes it not as having two separately predefined storage sets. Instead, here's how the board characterizes it. And I know counsel said that the board cites claim 27 and explains it as they do. That is not true. There is nowhere in this final written decision.
I think you're right about that. But let me get back to the problem is we're still struggling with, or at least I'm still struggling with, these very detailed arguments about does it require them to be stored in specific groupings, or does it just require storage of pointers to those specific groupings, which is what I understand to be the issue. Where does it address that in this blue brief?
So the concurrent storage requirement is the key to parameter context switching in the 496 patent, and this is all over the specification of the patent and the claims.
You're way over time.
I know.
Answer my specific question. That specific dispute we're having between concurrent storage of the actual grouping versus a pointer to different groupings, is that in the blue brief?
Yes, Your Honor, that is. That's in our discussion of NAPULSE, which is the only issue it's relevant to, pages 33 to 30.
I mean, there's only three pages here.
Yes.
What sentences are talking about this? And if that's the important part
so
of this
here it is. It's in that same paragraph. Accordingly, NAPULSE does not disclose multiple sets, i.e. a plurality of operational parameters that are stored concurrently in memory as the 496 patent requirement. As the 496 patent requires. That is the only available conclusion under Boston Scientific's claim construction, which requires the existence of predefined combinations that may be selected. NAPULSE provides only one predefined combination of operational parameters that...
Okay, but if that's what you're relying on, then this turns into a substantial evidence question, because none of this makes a distinction between actual groupings versus pointers to actual groupings. And if so, all we have to look at and determine is whether NAPULSE meets what you're saying here is we can determine that the references to therapy 1 versus therapy 2 meet it, can't we?
No, Your Honor. I don't think it's a substantial evidence question because, again, the final written decision, you know, under Chenery and basic admin law principles, this court can't write in reasoning that the PTAB didn't adopt. The PTAB adopted our factual characterization of these two patents. That is, NAPULSE does not have two predefined sets. It has one set, and then, as the PTAB describes it, it creates a second set.
Mr. Shaw. You're way over your time.
Okay.
I thank both counsel. The case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honor.